Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down every NRL game every week from a punting perspective, and it is the round one preview. We made it. Special shout out to you guys if you're watching on YouTube, because you are seeing the world premiere of this pod. This is 15 minutes earlier than any other place. That is because Facebook took away the premiere function, so this is always going to be the first place you're going to see the pod. And that's extra important tonight because of a new format that I spoke about yesterday when I gave it some info of how to follow me in 2021 on the Tripod. And that is, I'm going to try something different. I am going to give you guys all the best bets for the upcoming round that I have tonight in the first 5 minutes of this episode. So if you've ever been one of those guys that says, I don't have time to watch the whole pod, I just want to know what your tips are, just give me the first 5 minutes or less. I'm going to give you my three tips that I have for this upcoming round on three different matches, my strongest angles. I've got a market watch from Tristan telling you guys the biggest set bet sides of the week and how the new rules are going to affect the totals. And then I'm going to go through all the games naturally and look at all the punting aspects and break each game down, where I have a lean, who I still think might win a game, and also what might have kept me off a best bet. Plus, for the games where I've got a best bet, I've got a little bit more deep in depth in my analysis. Now, what I'm about to share the best bets, I obviously never advise betting these blindly. I'm not here to tell you guys what to bet on. I know people think I am. I'm here to share what I believe is the best value in the NRL that I can find, as we have on the Tripod for 6 seasons, and this is number 7. I look at the NRL game and try and share everything that I see and that I'm thinking about, and give you my favorite bets, and you can jump on them if you agree. And I guess I'm saying that partly because, you know, some bets are going to lose, and you've got to take some responsibility for yourself. Don't jump on a bet that if it loses, you're saying, oh, I never really wanted to bet on that team. So jump on if you agree. Use the pod as a tool to help you with your betting. Certainly, historically, we've shown that if you follow along or take what we say on board, it's certainly going to be helping you get into profit. This is the third in a roll pod I've done this season. There was a part one and part two season preview, and that's where, if you're interested in my overall thoughts on all 16 teams, go back and check that one out on your podcast feed or your YouTube feed. But let's get into the three best bets for round one. Firstly, I've got a best bet in the first game. I'm taking the Storm plus half a point in the first half, $1.88. I simply cannot justify them being underdogs in this game. I think it should be an absolute belter of a game to start the season. You've got the Storm not having lost in a first round game for 20 years. You've got Rabbits never having won in Melbourne. But I do think that there could also be a fitness edge to the Storm, aside that historically always works really hard in their preseason, whereas the Rabbitohs may be looking to build into it. Overall, I think that's a really strong best bet to kick off in the first half of the first game of my first season on my own. My second best bet is going to be the Knights minus 4.5 at $2. That's on Ladbrokes and Neds, as was the previous best bet on Ladbrokes and Neds, as you would have seen come up on the screen. I just simply think the Knights are going to be too good for the Bulldogs at home. I think they've recruited well. They've got a strong side here. I think Kurt Mann plays well in 5'8 next to Mitchell Pearce. And I think there's just too much hype on the Bulldogs. Yes, I think Trent Barrett's going to turn things around. There's lots of reasons to be positive. But I don't know if it's all going to happen for them in the first game. I know that I'm bucking a bit of a trend that there's been a line move of money coming for the Bulldogs, but I think it's been an overreaction, and I think now the value is very much so with the Newcastle Knights. I'm not afraid of the off-season turmoil. I think they're going to put up a really good performance. Another side that I think comes in after training really hard in the off-season, and a side that I think has finals hopes, if not even going better than their flame out last year. So I'm on the Knights minus 4.5. You can play that minus 5.5 as well. You can get $1.95 on Top Sport. I think it's minus 5.5 every bookie. That's virtually the same as 4.5. And my other best bet, actually, this isn't really live because I gave it out in part two of the season preview, and that is the Tigers plus 10.5, which was on Sportsbet $1.92, and on Ladbrokes and Neds, I think it was $1.88 at the time. And as I said, this line might be single digits when we come to the pod next week, and it is. Now it's 8.5. I would still play the Tigers plus 8.5 at $2, which you can get on Ladbrokes and Neds. So that's my three best bets. Next up, guys, we're going to do a little segment called Market Watch with Tristan from Top Sport, as I said, to share some real true punting insights for the upcoming round.
Hello, Tripod fans. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We'll be supporting the pod again this year. Very excited to back up the Wild World of Sports pod that we partnered with last season into the NRL. We can't wait for the footy to start. We've got a big week coming up, starting on Thursday night, where the Storm play the Rabbitohs. Storm are $1.94. The Rabbitohs are $1.88. And the Rabbits have been the best supported team, where the most money has been outlaid on them out of any of the games this season. So they've been very, very well backed. I think they were $2.05 into $1.88, and they've shortened each week, basically. And even after teams were announced on Tuesday night, they shortened from $1.92 pick 'em into $1.88. So it's one-way traffic for the Bunnies. It's contrasting to the Storm's, obviously, great round one record. But with Harry Grant out, the Rabbitohs starting the season so well, the hype around their season, we think that's the reason why they've been the best backed in terms of money over the round one period. The biggest line move has been the Bulldogs against the Knights. So they opened the season at 7.5. They've been back from 7.5 into 6.5, and now they're into 5.5. The interesting one here is that normally when a team shifts from 6.5 into 5.5, you tend to see some money come back the other way because that six number's so key. But we've actually had to go plus 5.5 at $1.85 the Bulldogs and $1.95 the Knights. So there's even more money coming for them at that 5.5 quote. So we do expect that to continue to roll through for the next couple of days. That game's obviously Friday night at 6 o'clock. You'd probably think that the ordinary off-season the Knights have had has probably contributed to that, as well as there's been a lot of specking for Bulldogs and a lot of futures markets. So they've been well supported in an array of different markets there, and that seems to follow on to round one. In terms of looking at how our traders have assessed the rule changes, because that's a key one, the total points are a very interesting component there. Obviously, with the more game time, the more fatigue, you'd expect those numbers to be higher. Round one, traditionally, though, we do see lower scoring games as the teams are getting used to their formation and their set plays. So we've probably set the lines not too different to other seasons at this point, but we're going to be having to monitor these really, really closely in the first couple of games in the season and then make tweaks. So it's one of those ones where, a bit like everyone else, we are expecting more points throughout the season. We're probably expecting that to kick in, from round three or four onwards, but time will tell. Make sure all the listeners out there jump on and have a look at the markets that have been requested by your fellow group members. There's been plenty of them which have been awesome. We've put about 20 markets up there on the site as requested by the Tripod members. The one that's been the best backed by some significant margin is the Storm and the Raiders both to finish in the top four, the Eels to finish in the top eight, Manly to miss the top eight, and the Tigers to get more than 7.5 wins. That was $26 when we released the prices. It's into 18 now. We've been hit many, many times on it. Well done to everyone for putting out their markets there. It's been received very, very well. Enjoy the footy this weekend, and we look forward to the season ahead. Thank you.
Thanks to Tristan. Really fascinating insights there. Overall, I will give a shout out to Matt O'Keefe, who's been delivering some great content in the Tripod Punter Sips Forum Facebook group. He pointed out a big trend on why you should only be looking at playing unders in round one in the NRL. His biggest reasons were everyone is max motivated. You don't have these dead teams or these flat teams that are waiting for the season to end that give up or give up late in games and scores blow out. And the other big one being the less attacking cohesion and execution for big plays early in the season. Of course, there is a big wild card, which Tristan alluded to. That's the new rules. And obviously that means more ball in play, and that's generally going to be more fatigue, which should mean higher scoring. And another big one is, of course, just how the referees are going to officiate the game. You can often tell very early in a game, is a ref blowing heaps of six agains? Is he not letting the defense get away with anything? How much are they enforcing the 10 meters? And that ultimately can go a long way to a game being higher or lower scoring. As you can hear, because you've heard my three best bets, I've steered away from any totals best bets. I am still a believer that, fitness level is crucial in round one, and just not knowing necessarily how the new rules are going to play out, that leans into what Tristan said, that there's going to be a great amount of sensitivity of the totals based on the early game. So one last piece of advice before I go through the round: if you do like a match to bet over or under in any of the kind of Saturday or Sunday games, I suggest watching Thursday night footy, watching Friday, and if the games are trending where really high scoring, it might be a first half, there's a blitz of points, it might be 60 minutes into a game, it's clearly going to go under or over. You can expect that the markets will adjust based on those results, but the markets are still going to be open for the subsequent games while there's a match in play, if you think the totals are going to drop, you might want to smash your under. Or if you think the totals are going to go up, then maybe you avoid betting any unders until at least the totals have corrected, or you play over. So that's something to look really closely at in the first few games, because it is an unknown, new rules. The NRL wants higher scoring games and more flying footy, and I'm not one to argue. Now, speaking of some great flying footy, I mean, we've got the Storm hosting Souths. It's basically pick 'em. Some places I see the Storm are still a slight favourite. Others I see South Sydney are a slight favourite. The total 41.5. I said my best bet is the Storm plus a half point at $1.88 on Ladbrokes and Neds. So my biggest reason being home advantage is worth something. Not having to travel for the Storm and playing in front of your home fans, especially the homecoming after winning the competition. There's a historical precedent that the Storm really do start seasons fit, whereas this comment made by Wayne Bennett last year is really just stuck in my mind that he doesn't necessarily want to try and do that. He's happy for his team to build into the year. Now, you did hear Tristan say that the Rabbitohs are the most heavily bet side prior to round one. And in fact, you could have got the Rabbitohs plus 3.5, as some members in our group did right after they demolished St. George and the Charity Shield. But there is a lot of hype with South Sydney as well. Why else did this line move? Well, I think we all knew Cam Smith wouldn't be playing for the Storm, but Harry Grant got an injury in the preseason. Dale Finucane was also ruled out last week. So there's plenty of reasons why this line has moved. I still think it's moved too far. I can't play the Bunnies because of Bennett's comments he made about how he wants his team to build into the year and not try and burn them out too early. And the Bunnies are only going to be judged on one thing this year. To me, it's they have to make the grand final. I know a lot of people say they have to win it. They're the favourites. I think if they make the grand final, no one's going to say they failed this year. But anything short of that, even getting to a prelim, which is a great achievement for both clubs, that would be their fourth prelim loss in 4 years. So it's grand final or bust for the Bunnies. They don't have to win this game. In saying that, of course they could. But I just wonder, do people think the Bunnies are super fighting fit because they dismantled the Dragons in the first half of that Charity Shield game? I mean, maybe the Dragons are just lackluster. And I know Latrell looked dynamite in the All-Star game and the Charity Shield, but I don't think that necessarily proves that the whole Bunnies team is super fit. I mean, Latrell coming off the hammy injury kind of had a little bit more time to freshen up. I've spoken about the Storm fitness, and it's no accident that they have won 19 straight games, so it's been 20 years since they lost in round one. Now, when I look at the Storm, I do have a couple of concerns. They're the defending premiers. You don't necessarily want to jump on them and think that you're getting value because everybody knows how good the Storm are. I've got to address their losses. I'm looking at the middle of the field. You've got the loss of Tino Fasuamalawi up to the Titans, as we know, and Dale Finucane being out. And then Brandon Smith. Of course, he's playing in this game, but he was being used as a wrecking ball middle forward. Obviously, now with Grant out, Brandon Smith plays a traditional dummy half role. You're now effectively without three rep middle forwards. They've named Big Nelson at 13, which I find terrifying for the Bunnies defensively, but it could be a real opportunity for the Bunnies in attack. You look at who they've got in the middle of the field, Cam Murray, Jai Arrow, Burgess, Totola, and then in and around the ruck, Latrell, Walker, Benji are all going to be supporting and probing, and you got Damian Cook scooting as well. So these are all reasons why I wasn't tempted to bet the under, despite the fact a lot of people will be. I just see a ton of playmakers in this match. I mean, on both sides. And then you've got the six again rule, not knowing how that could be enforced. If it's a lightning fast ruck and there's fatigue in the game, you think about how many chances these superstar playmakers are going to have to capitalize on. There isn't a couple other edges. South Sydney, you've got to give them the edge in goal kicking. Reynolds, whereas the Storm have got to adjust to life after Smith, who officially retired today, as I'm sure you've heard. So Puppy takes the goal kicking duties, and we know he's no sharpshooter, but I hope he has been practicing over the offseason. Brenko Lee is also out, and he did make an Origin debut last year. But then again, they've picked up Remus Smith, and I think himself and also George Jennings, who did well in opportunities with the Warriors last year, they'll do a job. All in all, look at the two lineups, 1-17. Yeah, you can make an argument that the Souths do have the slightly better team considering who's out, but these internationals in the Storm pack, both spines so classy. The intangibles that I spoke about, like home ground, crowd, possible fitness edge, and we're getting the plus a half a point in the first half. So the Storm don't even need to win the first half. It can be tied as well. It's just enough for me to justify my first best bet of the 2021 season. Let's move on to my second best bet, which is in the Knights versus Bulldogs, the prevalent line -5.5 and the total 40.5. But as I said, best bet -4.5 at $2 on Ladbrokes and Neds, next best -5.5 on Top Sport. So again, this is going against what Tristan mentioned in his market watch, where there has been a big move of money for the Dogs, but look, I think there's plenty of promise. I think Trent Barrett was a great pickup. The new signings that have come in this year or who are coming next year, it's promising at Belmore there. But I just don't think it's going to be instant. Whereas I look at the Knights, a lot of people are a little bit off them because they think they've had a bad off-season. I think those issues are overblown. I spoke about that in the season preview. I really think it's a top eight roster that in-house believes they should be making top four, considering they came seventh last year. You add Frizzell, you get back Brayley at hooker, which could be massive. And don't forget, they were really rolling along with Kurt Mann, as I said before, when he was in the 5/8 role alongside Pierce. It wasn't until they had the dummy half injuries that Mann had to get shoehorned into other positions, and then it was a little bit of a ins and outs every week at the 5/8 position alongside Mitchell Pearce. Then there's no continuity in the halves for him. So I think they can play well at in the halves here. Whereas for the Bulldogs, hey, I really think Flanagan and Avarillo is a nice combo and they can have a nice season and hopefully build for many years. But again, is it all going to click this week? Sione Katoa is not a dummy half that I think takes a lot of pressure off the halves. And Newcastle's quietly quite a stout defense, especially on the back of a forward pack that I think wins this forward pack. Usually you look at the Bulldogs and say if they're going to win a game, it's with their kind of dogs of war attitude and forward pack grit. But I think the Knights have the edge here. And, you know, speaking of grit, I understand Kalen Pong is out, but my mind casts back to round three last year after COVID. Was kind of like round one. There was no Ponga. Pierce got concussed really early. Watson did his ACL early. They were down 14-0 to the Panthers. We all know how good the Panthers team ended up being. They came back and got a 90-minute tie in that game. That's the kind of early season fitness and grit that I think Newcastle can present. You know, anything can happen in any week, let alone round one, but I'd be pretty surprised if the Dogs win, and I'm confident laying under a converted try with the Newcastle Knights. We move to Suncorp Stadium, the late game on Friday night. It's the Broncos hosting the Eels. The Eels are a -8.5-point favourite. The total is 41.5. Look, I definitely lean to Para. I'd be very surprised, again, if they don't win this. You know, I listened to interviews with Kevy, and he's as positive as they come, but even he said the situation in Brisbane was worse than he expected. Then again, I guess every coach will say that when you take someone else's job, but they're going to take time to improve, I think. I've given out Para as a long shot for the minor premiership, as I said at the start of this pod. So obviously, they should be coming in and winning a game like this. But I don't want to bet against Brisbane with the spread in their first game after the season from hell, when I know how horrible their attitude was last year, how horrible their effort was. And that's something you can turn around quickly. And I think it's so important for this Broncos team to really fight for the 80 minutes to restore the faith of their home fan base. And that means even if they're down, I think they will at least fight. There won't be that give up factor. That's why this is too many points for me to lay in round one. Move on to Saturday. The Warriors host the Titans at Gosford. The Titans are a slight road favourite, -2.5, total 42.5. And this is one of the games I'm most excited to watch in round one. So many entertaining players and so many reasons to be optimistic for both these franchises. But also to me, a few questions to answer. So for the Warriors, like how quickly can Brown get this team cohesive and gelling together? How much has he tried to change? Because they really didn't go that badly last year. You know, they haven't made it clear. He's known as a rebuild coach. Do they consider this a rebuild? Or is it more of a retool? You've added some good off-season additions. Like, do they consider themselves a genuine threat right now? Because I think this Warriors team will be really dangerous if they play with confidence. And that's the real question mark, is how will they all click straight away under Brownie's regime? Now, you look at the Titans. The question mark for me is, are they going to live up to the promise? They are probably the most hyped team. I'd say, you know, there's a bit of hype about the Dogs, there's hype about the Bunnies, and there's hype about the Titans in the middle of the table, being a side that should improve a lot in 2021 for good reason. And obviously they've got some serious recruits. But again, how's the execution? How's the backline going to go? That's what stopped them winning a couple of close games last year. And those are the games that the Titans are going to be looking at saying, Warriors aren't a top eight side. We have to be coming in and winning this type of game if we're legit. And the Warriors are saying, we're at home here. We have to win this type of game to make the eight. It's crazy how a round one matchup, you feel like these can be the kind of games that are the difference in making the eight or not. Now, there's reasons for me to back both sides. I think the Titans will have a better year than the Warriors. But the Warriors, like, you're adding in Fusatua Mamalo, and then you've recruited Aitken, Fanua Blake-Siren, and Murdoch Masilla. Then again, Harris Tavita's coming in reportedly with an injury. So just too much up in the air for me. I can't wait to watch it, but I will be watching it without a best bet. Next up on Super Saturday, the Roosters at the SCG host Manly. The line is 9.5 points of the Roosters favoured, and the total is 43.5. We all know, tragically, that Tommy Turbo's out for this one. And if you recall, it was, I think, round 2 last year. He had a superhuman performance, pretty much single-handedly beat the Roosters in a corresponding matchup. There is no replacing Tom Trbojevic, but I'm excited to see Dylan Walker at fullback. I still choose to believe that he can be a difference maker after he's had a couple of hampered injury seasons himself. There's actually a little bit of pressure off the Roosters, I think, in 2021. When you look last year, they were the back-to-back defending champs. The year before, they were the defending champs, and they kind of had a target on their head. And now, you know, you could say the pressure's off. It's a questionable as well how hard they would have gone in the preseason. We know that Robbo likes to build his team up through the year. Keary has had hamstring complaints but will play. But you look at, like, obviously they're not desperate to win game one. They're not forcing Victor Radley or Verrills back into the team for now. And Boyd Cordner is months away from joining this team, if at all. I definitely expect the Roosters will be too classy in this one. But I just have a feeling Manly could be gritty. And again, I don't like laying a large number of points in round one, so I'm going to pass that game. And the nightcap on Saturday night, the Panthers, minor premiers last year, of course, host the Cowboys, and they're also a 9.5 point underdog like the previous game has one, and the total is 41.5. And similar to the previous game, I think the home side should be too good in Penrith. You know, I don't have these two teams close to each other in my mind in terms of, like, what their ceiling is or where they're going to finish at the end of this season. But if we look back to North Queensland last year, they were a lame duck for a lot of the kind of back end of the season. Once they were out of finals contention, they had their injuries. You contrast that to Penrith that were flying through the season, each game bigger than the last as the winning streak grew and then as they built to finals. But now we've got a whole preseason that separates these sides from 2020. So there is no big energy and motivation disparity anymore. And as I said, Panthers were really healthy last year. Whereas for the Cowboys, you get back a Michael Morgan by all reports, the shoulder's good. You get back Val Holmes. A year back in the NRL's got to do him the world of good. I think getting put back on the wing also takes pressure off him. And to me, it also sends a message. If you look at the squad that Todd Payton has picked, and obviously he's the new addition at coach this year that could also improve the team. That's yet to be seen. But you look at the way he's picked the team, as I said, plenty of playmakers, like picking Tabuai Fudo in the centres, Drinkwater at fullback, Holmes on the wing, but also picking a guy like Clifford in the halves, even though he knows he's leaving. To me, that's the message is we want to pick the strongest side we can and get results now. We're not a rebuild. We're not just trying to build for the future. That's positive for their prospects in 2021. And that's enough for me to not want to lay the 9.5 against the Cowboys. But I'm also well aware of what Penrith are capable of, so I'm not tempted to take those points either. That's why I couldn't land on a best bet for that game either. And then Sunday, we've got the Raiders hosting the Tigers. The line is now 8.5 and the total 43.5. And this was the one game where I gave out a best bet in the season preview part 2. That was after I declared I'm really high on West Tigers this year. I unironically took them to come 9th. Which is a fair bit higher than what most expect in a really competitive competition. I've got them over 7.5 wins, which just means they've got to win a third of their games or more for my season-long multi. And on top of that, I've talked a bit about preseason fitness, and it's a bit of a guessing game, and you're trying to read the tea leaves, but it can really give you a hidden edge if you can find out the sides, or find sides that have a fitness edge over their opponent in the early rounds. We know Madge is a drill sergeant, and you know, he gets criticized for burning his teams out, but they always start the season fit. And, it showed itself a little bit, and they had the biggest trial win, I think, of any team in the trials. Take a trial win with a grain of salt, but it's still something that supports the idea that the Tigers will come in fit and firing. And of course, Dewey is suspended for this game. But I've gone into my thoughts of why I like this Tigers team. I like the additions, and I think Brooks is going to have a good year. So I talked about that in the season preview. I also think Mbai is versatile enough to fill in the sixth role. If you look at Canberra, well, they're without Jared Croker. He got first game back for Hodgson off the ACL, and it's interesting because he obviously got to add something to this team. But they actually played really well without Hodgson last year as they switched to more dominant halves play. So now they're going to have to readjust back to incorporate what Hodgson does so well. You've got to make up for the loss of Kotrick, Johnny Bateman, and you've got Harawira Naira and Horsberg that were stood down for a few games because of drink driving. That's not easy to overcome all of that in round one. I really like the plus 10.5 that we got last week, and I would still play plus 8.5 on the $2 line. I think they're my best shot for an upset of all of the slightly longer underdogs. You know, put aside the three closest games that anybody could win, I think the Tigers are a very live underdog as well. And finally, the Dragons host the Sharks, and the Dragons are catching plus 3.5 at home, the total 41.5. And this is a tricky game to end the round for me. If I had to bet it, I would really be inclined to take the points with the Dragons, because I think you've been hearing all preseason that you're most people's favourites for the spoon. And the issue for me, though, is that I've openly questioned, you know, whether Anthony Griffin is the solution to their problems. You've got Frizzell gone, as we know, but then they lose McInnes in the offseason to a heartbreaking injury. That means he's played his last game for the club. Corey Norman then gets suspended, which I think was bogus, but nevertheless, he won't play in this game. I still think Dragons are going to throw the kitchen sink at their rival, because if you can't get up for game one, it's just going to be a long season. To be honest, it could be a long season for Dragons fans anyway. And I look at the Sharks on the other side of the coin, and their team doesn't really blow me away, but they are another team that I think can be gritty and is actually quite a tight squad. Of course, their biggest loss is Sean Johnson. It's such a shame that he got injured so late last year, and he's not going to be there for the first half of this season, roughly. But I'll be looking really closely at how Matt Moylan plays. They say that he's recovered well from like a lot of his injury woes, and he's going to be filling kind of that same role as Sean Johnson. And if he can provide a spark there and some creativity, that will go a long way into helping the Sharks, you know, win some closer games like this one. Worth mentioning, I suppose, Fifita not in the 17, but that I will try not to mention Fifita too many times more this season, because he's not someone that moves the needle for me anyway, just with kind of the miles that are on his body. He's not the game changer that he used to be. I think big season for Chad Townsend, especially before Johnson comes back and they decide who their best two halves options, and they got other blokes as well knocking on the door. And speaking of number seven, what about his counterpart, Ben Hunt? It's a big year for him because he wanted to play seven. Now he gets his seven jersey back. He also gets the captaincy of the Dragons. And you know what? I think this game will be competitive, and I think the better seven may be the difference in this one. So I don't have a best bet for now. If the Dragons line continues to climb, it may force my hand. Check out Friday in the Tripod group and the Tripod app, as I'll release the full list of best bets, so any additional that I have found as we allow more markets to open up and to move. This is just a caution from me that the Sharks look like the obvious pick. I don't know if they're going to have it all their own way. That was the eight games wrapped. I would really love to hear your guys' thoughts on everything I said, as well as just your own thoughts. Was there any factors I've missed or just factors I've got wrong? I do have one more bet to close the pod, and I will have a bet like this every week. Thank you to Top Sport. I commend them for, first of all, they've done all these custom requested NRL markets that were put up in the Tripod group. It's not too late to go and look up NRL season multis in their markets and see if you like the value on any of these. But they're also, we're thinking outside the box, and they're going to be giving us a market called Mixed Matchup. Tripod Mixed Matchup. What the hell is that, you ask? Well, I'm going to be taking a team every round to outscore another team, but they're not playing each other. So that's giving us a bet that involves two different games, keeps it interesting. I think it's a cool idea, but I would say that because I came up with it myself. And this week, my bet is the Tigers to score more points than the Broncos. I've made the case why I really like the Tigers, and I think they're going to have more attacking flair than we're used to. You add Dane Laurie, I think that's a huge addition. Jimmy the Jets, so there's speed in this team now. And the Raiders, they're playing in a daytime game, which is conducive to more points in general, while the Broncos play the Eels at night. Historically bad defense by the Broncos last year, I think that becomes a point of emphasis. Not trying to outscore the Eels, especially with kind of like a spine that's got question marks and a backline that maybe isn't as potent with Stags still a few weeks away. I think Brisbane comes in with a mentality of let's get through completions and let's focus on effort areas. And if they get a result or get close in that game, I think it's lower scoring. That's why I like West Tigers to score more points than the Broncos. They do need to score more than them for this to win, but I think that's better than 50-50. We can play it at $2.25 for a max stake of $200. that will do it. So thank you very much, guys, for tuning in to the 7th year of the pod, a year like no other. As you know, I'm going on my own, but if you heard my little season info video I did live, which you can check in the YouTube or Facebook streams, while I'll be mostly solo for these pods, I will be getting contributions from Tristan. I will be bringing in a new voice periodically. There's lots of great minds out there I want to bring onto the show to share their thoughts and knowledge. And I also will be live within 10 minutes of the final whistle every Sunday night, facing the music no matter what the results are. Most importantly, sharing my insights from the round so that we can learn and make more money the following week. And no doubt this week's going to be fascinating and bloody wonderful round of footy. So for the sake of my tips I've shared tonight and for anything you back yourself, let's hope it's also a profitable one. But most of all, let's enjoy having the footy back, guys. Don't get too high or low with the wins and losses. It is a long season. Most importantly also, gamble responsibly. Lego.